The Letters of Jane Austen, selected from the compilation of her great-nephew, Edward Lord Brabourne, by Sarah Chauncey Wolsey. Preface. The recent cult for Miss Austen, which has resulted in no less than 10 new editions of her novels within a decade, and 3 memoirs by different hands within as many years, have made the facts of her life familiar to most readers. It was a short life, and an uneventful one as viewed from the standpoint of our modern times, when steam and electricity have linked together the ends of the earth, and the very air seems teeming with news, agitations, discussions. We have barely time to recover our breath between post and post, and the morning paper, with its statements of disaster and its hints of still greater evils to be, is scarcely outlived, when, lo, in comes the evening issue, contradicting the news of the morning, to be sure, but full of omens and auguries of its own to strew our pillows with the seed of wakefulness. To us publications come hot and hot from the press. Telegraphic wires, like the intricate and incalculable zigzags of the lightning, ramify above our heads. And who can tell at what moment their darts may strike? In Miss Austen's day, the tranquil, drowsy, decorous English day of a century since, all was different. News travelled then from hand to hand, carried in creaking post-wagons, or in cases of extreme urgency by men on horseback. When a gentleman journeying in his own chaise took 3 days in going from Exeter to London, a distance now covered in 3 hours of railroad, there was little chance of frequent surprises. Love, sorrow, and death were in the world then as now, and worked their will upon the sons of men. But people did not expect happenings every day, or even every year. No doubt they lived the longer for this exemption from excitement, and kept their nerves in a state of wholesome repair. But it goes without saying that the events of which they knew so little did not stir them deeply. Miss Austen's life coincided with 2 of the most momentous epochs of history— the American struggle for independence, and the French Revolution. But there is scarcely an allusion to either in her letters. She was interested in the fleet and its victories because 2 of her brothers were in the navy, and had promotion and prize money to look forward to. In this connection she mentions Trafalgar and the Egyptian expedition, and generously remarks that she would read Southey's Life of Nelson if there was anything in it about her brother Frank. She honours Sir John Moore by remarking after his death that if his mother would perhaps have preferred to have him less distinguished and still alive, further than that, the making of the gooseberry jam and a good recipe for orange wine interests her more than all the marchings and countermarchings, the manoeuvres and diplomacies going on the world over. In the midst of the universal vortex of fear and hope, triumph and defeat, while the fate of Britain and British liberty hung trembling in the balance, she sits writing her letters, trimming her caps, and discussing small beer with her sister in a lively and unruffled fashion wonderful to contemplate. The society of rural England in those days, as Mr. Goldwin Smith happily puts it, enjoyed a calm of its own in the midst of the European tempest, like the windless centre of a circular storm. The point of view of a woman with such an environment must naturally be circumscribed and narrow. And in this Miss Austen's charm consists. Seeing little, she painted what she saw with an absolute fidelity, and a dexterity and perfection unequalled. On her was bestowed, though in a humble form, the gift which had been bestowed on Homer, Shakespeare, Cervantes, Scott, and a few others—the gift of creative power. Endowed with the keenest and most delicate insight and a vivid sense of humour, she depicted with exactitude what she observed and what she understood, giving to each fact and emotion its precise shade and value. The things she did not see she did not attempt. Affectation was impossible to her, most of all affectation of knowledge or feeling not justly her own. She held the mirror up to her time with an exquisite sincerity and fidelity, and the closeness of her study brought her intimately near to those hidden springs which underlie all human nature. This is the reason why, for all their skimp skirts, leg-o'-mutton sleeves, and bygone impossible bonnets, her characters do not seem to us old-fashioned.